Andy Hodges joins us. Andy, good afternoon. Thanks for calling Overtime.
How's it going, guys?
It's going good. Andy, when will this end?
I think we will probably have some clarity by Monday. I still think that Chris Peterson of Boise State is the number one guy. I think all of this with Les Miles is a smokescreen to divert attention away. Chris Peterson has a lot to gain from winning the ball game on Saturday. I believe I looked at the contract, and by my reading of his contract, he gets a $200,000 bonus if he wins on Saturday, because he has a bonus in his contract for 10 wins. Now, that's a pretty hefty incentive to go win the 10th game.
Right.
He doesn't need a lot of distractions right now, and I think Jeff Long's doing everything he can. And I think Les Miles wants a raise to Nick Saban-type money, because Les Miles had in his contract that he was to be paid $1 more than the highest-paid coach in college football. Well, that thing got ridiculous and got out of hand, and everybody kind of dropped it. But Les wants that parity with Nick Saban, and I think he is using Arkansas to get it.
Smart, yeah. You talk about Les being dumb. That's a smart move.
And, Les Miles is not dumb. Anybody
that thinks Les Miles is dumb
doesn't know what they're talking about. He's the second best coach in the SEC.
Yeah, he's a top five coach in the nation for college football. And I think Jeff Long, and that's one of the reasons he's keeping it close to his vest, and that we had a guy from Boise call in, and the whole deal with them going to the Big East, I don't think Peterson's really that happy about that. And you look at what West Virginia had to do this year when they went to the Big 12 and flying all the way, you know, two time zones type deal. That doesn't help your team. And so that's why he would be keeping it quiet and waiting for them to finish this Saturday's game.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make sense for him to blow it up before they finish the season. And, I think there are probably some ethical issues that come into it and everything else. But the Peterson information that I went with Monday night, nobody has said it was wrong. In fact, I've received two messages from people telling me that I was dead on. So until I hear otherwise, I'm going to believe that. And I was told by someone in a position to know that the Les Miles stuff was just a smokescreen to divert attention away from Peterson, who is the real target.
So it definitely diverted attention away. It got the eyeballs of not only us here when it was announced yesterday, but ESPN, Fox Sports, CBS Sports, NBC, everybody was on this, Andy, so there had to have been something there, right?
Yeah, either that or Les is going to step to the microphone here in about 55 minutes or so, and he's just going to start laughing, going, gotcha. You know, I mean, you never know in these coaching things. I mean, I have seen some crazy stuff. And let me say this, Chris Peterson is not a done deal. I have literally seen on two occasions coaches that were going to take a new job fly into the town, get on campus, and leave quietly before they ever accepted the job. Something happened that made them change their mind, and they backed out at the last minute.
Well, we've seen Dana Altman back out after the press conference.
Yeah, so nothing's a done deal till he's here, and I would say give him 3 months on the job before you say it's a done deal based on the Dana Altman experience.
And the question to Les needs to be, has he talked to his agent, not has he talked to him? And that's the same thing with Peterson. You know, he's Jeff Long or his people talking to the agent instead of actually talking to Les Miles or Chris Peterson.
I don't think that I have heard, Matt, in probably 20 years, an athletic director talking directly with a coach about a position.
Right.
It just doesn't happen.
And that's easy for Les to say, I have not been in contact with him, because he hasn't been in contact with him.
Everybody has plausible deniability.
And exactly.
Usually they use third-party representatives that know both parties, and they go back and forth playing a lot of, well, what do you think if we do this? What do you think if we do that? And then everything comes together. I literally have seen cases where the first time the athletic director and the coach that he just hired physically met face-to-face was 5 minutes before the press conference announcing the coach's signing.
Andy, basketball press conference with Mike Anderson's coming up here in a little bit. Obviously, not a nice trip to Las Vegas, and now they have Syracuse coming in to Bud Walton Arena on Friday evening.
This team's got to find some shooters, and they've got to turn some of the shooters loose that they have, in my opinion. I would like to see Kai Madden, who is a good shooter. He just won't shoot for whatever reason. Hunter Mickelson, when he can face up on the basket, is a good shooter. For whatever reason, Mardrakus Wade is not taking the shots that he took last year. And it's something, you know, these are all correctable issues. They just got to get corrected in a hurry if Arkansas is going to have a chance against Syracuse. And Syracuse is going to come in here with the best team that Arkansas has seen this year.
Why do you think Hunter Mickelson? Now, I know, you know, the style of offense that and defense, this the whole way that Anderson likes to coach his team. Why do you think Hunter Mickelson is not even playing 16 minutes a game? Because I agree with you. He can shoot, and Syracuse is going to come with this 2-3 zone. B.J. Young shooting 15% from the three-point line. He needs to attack Penn.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know why Hunter's not shooting more. That's a question that I guess only Mike Anderson can answer, and I'm sure somebody will ask the question today because it's starting to become pretty apparent the amount of minutes that Hunter is playing has a lot of people raising their eyebrows, and that's only a question that Mike Anderson can answer.
Right.
Andy, when you look at Dave Van Horn and the blow he was dealt, we just talked with Mike Jocks of KHBS 4029 today about Blake Baxendale having to have Tommy John surgery. I guess the only good thing is he's not a pitcher. He's a position player, a catcher. So apparently the rehab for position players isn't as extensive as it is for a pitcher, but he will miss the 2013 baseball season.
It will create a hole in the lineup, but you know, having and catcher's the position I played. I couldn't play pitcher. And catcher, you don't have the same torque on your arm that you do when you're pitching because you're not twisting, trying to throw curveballs or anything like that. You basically want to go straight as an arrow and bounce into second base perfectly for the throw. But it's just going to require some redoing and shuffling players around. But guys, when it comes to college baseball, there's nobody I have more confidence in being able to do that and juggle the lineup and make it work than Dave Van Horn. He's proved everywhere he's been, and certainly at Arkansas the years he's been here, he can deal with setbacks like that and get past it.
And, you know, looking at this Arkansas-Syracuse game, I know that we play a lot of players. Do you look for Coach Anderson to maybe bring Hunter Mickelson off the bench or change his starting lineup a little bit this week?
I don't think Mike knows who his starting lineup is going to be until just before tip-off.
Right.
He's told us that on repeated occasions, and I believe it because usually, Matt, when you go back through the box scores and look at the minutes played, the most minutes played are played by non-starters.
Yeah, and I know when I got to play under Nolan my freshman year when Anderson was there, you had, you know, Brandon Dean was going to start. You had a couple people that you knew were going to start, but some of the other guys were who competed the best and who was having the best week of practice and who was hot. They got to start and play more minutes if they were able to prove it out there on the floor. And, you know, it was always kind of that it made you compete and practice more. And it made you better because you knew if you went out there and played well in practice and was able to dominate, you were going to get to start and play more that week.
Well, it makes for a better overall team experience. You could certainly talk about that more than I could. But when you know that everybody on that team is going to get to play a lot of minutes, I would think you have a better attitude all week in practice.
Yeah, it helps that way, but it can also hurt when, you know, if you get out there in the game and you have two turnovers in a row and your name's not B.J. Young or Marshawn Powell or Madrakus Wade.
Madrakus Wade.
You know, those guys are going to get their minutes, but some of the other guys, if you have two turnovers in a row, it can hurt you, and you're not going to be able to play as well because you're thinking about that over your shoulder. So it works both ways.
Yeah, and that's part of what Mike is dealing with, I think, with a very young team, is getting that mental toughness and getting that mental edge. But, man, Syracuse is going to be coming in here. That thing is going to be on national television, on ESPN, and it would be really good to see this team come together against Syracuse on the national stage Friday night.
Andy, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks for your time. And people can find your work at hogcountryonline.com and in the publication Hog Country.
Yep, as long as the server doesn't blow up, which it has kind of spit and sputtered the last couple of days.
I wonder why.
Because of all the traffic.
All right, Andy, appreciate it.
All right, thanks.